Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm pleased to be able to introduce my co-host, Kelsey Hardison. Kelsey is our newest KHOI reporter. She's been on the job with us for about 2 weeks now, and this is her first local talk show. Welcome to the KHOI airwaves, Kelsey.
Thank you.
So, Kelsey, you just graduated from Iowa State, and where'd you come from?
I'm originally from Onawa, Iowa.
Tell us a little bit about what you studied at Iowa State.
I went to Iowa State and graduated with a degree in Bachelor of Liberal Arts. The three emphasis areas that I have are business, communication studies, and sociology. So I'm kind of all over the place.
And now you've joined KHOI. What made you come and join our crew?
I have a strong passion for community radio, and I thought this would be a very great learning experience and a way to contribute to the Ames community, which has let me live here for the past 4 years.
Uh-huh. Well, what kind of impressions do you have so far of being part of KHOI?
It's a great community and culture. I'm learning a lot right off of the bat. Like you said, I've only been here for about 2 weeks and already have a lot of skills that I've gained on sound editing and reporting, so I'm excited to continue to learn and contribute.
We're looking forward to see what your unique contribution is to the radio station. And Kelsey's a good example of somebody who took up the invitation that we always put out, that Local Talk is a training program as well as a radio show. And if you are interested in learning how to do reporting, you're welcome to join the crew, just like Kelsey did. Kelsey, you and I have been working on a story about independent artists in the Central Iowa area. KHOI reporters Deborah Bunka and Kay Puttock helped us out with getting some interviews. We started to be interested in this because recently Women in Motion held its spring dance concert in Ames, and this wonderful performance inspired us to visit Co-Motion, the local modern dance company that makes Women in Motion possible.
And we spoke with Valerie Williams, who is the artistic director of Co-Motion, to find out more about Co-Motion Dance Theater. She described what it takes to be an independent artist in Central Iowa, and she also shared some of her thoughts on the craft and business of being a dancer.
Yes, and when we talked to Valerie, she brought up a good point, which is that artists really do perform a service that is as important as any other service that we normally pay for, because, as she said, experiencing art is one of the requirements of a civilized life. During this hour, we'll hear from two more independent artists in our area who have also enhanced the quality of life in our community.
Deborah speaks with Gwen Foster at the offices of the Ames Community Arts Council. Gwen recently became their cultural coordinator.
And then we'll also hear from Joe Myers Walker. Many in our area have enjoyed her artwork and her hospitality at the Left Bank Studio in Gilbert. We'll share that interview later in the hour. This is Local Talk. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, here with my co-host, Kelsey Hardison, and we are speaking today with local independent artists. So first off, let's listen to an interview recorded by Kay Puttock with Valerie Williams of the Co-Motion Dance Theater.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Valerie.
My pleasure.
I'm absolutely, you make it as a freelance dancer, is that right?
Yes, I have been working in dance since 1973. I started making a living as a dancer in 1976. Mm-hmm. And in 1978, formed Co-Motion Dance Theater with Sherry Satterstrom. and have been working as the director of that company and as a freelance dancer. I have always made my living in dance.
That is very impressive. Now, I believe you've got two things that you do here in Ames, Kids Commotion and Women in Motion.
Actually, Kids Commotion and Women in Motion happen because we have the professional company. If the professional company were not here, then we would not have the vehicle for these outreach programs. Kids Commotion started 25 years ago. Wow, that's amazing. In an effort to not just teach kids to choreograph, but also to teach them about the relationship of movement and music, and also to give them an experience in a fully professionally produced concert situation. So the students spend 3 weeks working on composition, technique, and rehearsal, and then they show that performance at the end that they've put together. Women in Motion came about because there were lots of women who said, how come you're not doing Kids Commotion for grown-ups?
Oh, so the kids came first.
The kids came first. Women in Motion has only been going on for about 7 years, but it is one of the most delightful things that we do. The professional female dancers from the company dance with the women mm-hmm. who are local interested dancers, but not professionals. The outreach programs are really, really important to our mission. They're important to training an audience. They're important to just having dance really be for everyone. But the outreach programs exist because of the professional company.
Right.
Without the professional company here, we would not have the talent, structure. We wouldn't have the ability to run those outreach programs.
So how many, you have a touring company?
Yes, Commotion Dance Theater, besides the home season that we produce in Ames, Iowa, at the City Auditorium, is also on the road. For about 20 years, we toured as a full-time company. The dancers were on contract for anywhere from a 28 to 32-week season each year, and they were paid a salary every week. Right now, we're a part-time company. The dancers actually decided that they didn't want to tour full-time. I wasn't ready to give up touring. I worked on my own, on the road anywhere from 150 to 250 nights a year.
That's a lot.
I love touring. I like being on the road. So that helps, because I don't think there are any dancers who don't have to travel. I loved the jobs I did. Mm-hmm. I worked with Bill T. Jones' Arnie Zane Company as a rehearsal director and also assisted Bill in choreographing for the Lyon Opera Ballet. I was the national rehearsal director for a production called The Last Supper at Uncle Tom's Cabin, The Promised Land, which used a local company of about 40 dancers. So I would work with the local company for a couple of weeks, teaching them, and sometimes dancing with them, which was really fun.
Yes.
And I've traveled all over Europe and North America doing that.
Mm-hmm.
One of my very favorite jobs.
This is Local Talk, and I'm talking to professional dancer Valerie Williams. Do you have a specific vision about what dance should do for you and or for your audience or for the world?
Yes, and this would be about a 45-minute interview with me talking the entire time. But let me see if I can condense a little bit. Dancing is a joyful expression of living. And for that reason, I think everybody can dance. Everybody should dance. But not everybody should dance on stage. Only people who are willing to discipline their bodies, to work on that technique, to work on the ability to move an audience, to create an atmosphere. I think those people should be on stage. I have been so privileged through my career to be around all of these highly intelligent, constructive, creative people. They're incredible. Absolutely amazing people. They have minds that never stop. Imaginations. They have an ability to express that is absolutely amazing. I'm privileged. It means
about
that.
Not getting sick, I would think.
Oh, we can't afford to be injured.
Yeah.
We simply can't.
The body is like the artist's palette.
The body is more like the paint. The space is our canvas. And how and where and why we place dancers in that space, in what shape, moving through time, is what makes the magic of a performance. Modern dance does not have a systemized, codified vocabulary the way ballet does. Modern dancers are used to using all of their muscles in any way possible. Mm-hmm. That is one of the differences. Modern dancers tend to take on the personality of the director mm-hmm. and the choreographer, but modern dancers are also expected to be able to do anything and work with any choreographer. Choreography and performance are not just about being visited by the muse. It really is a craft. It's a skill and a discipline. And while we require freedom to create, we also truly require discipline and structure. Because it's modern dance and there's not a codified system, mm-hmm. we think that whatever anybody does is dance. Yes, it is dance, possibly, but it might not be something that we want to put on a stage in front of other people. People go to the theater to be manipulated, and that's something that dance can and should do.
Mm-hmm.
It should manipulate you. You should go away having experienced something. Either the visceral joy of watching really good dancers move, or the expression of an idea with movement.
Mm-hmm.
Being collected into an emotion or a feeling or an atmosphere that the dancers are creating.
This is Local Talk, and I'm talking to professional dancer Valerie Williams. To do what you do, you have to be an artist, but you also have to be a businesswoman.
We are a production company. We are a small business, but we are also artists.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you about that, how you built your business up so that it was a living. That must have been very difficult.
It was actually very difficult. Persevering, I think, is a gift as much as what we call talent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think will is a gift also. When I was in college, my advisor, Phyllis Lepke, told me at one point that I needed to ask for money for a particular choreography job I was applying for. And I kind of inhaled. I was appalled. How could I ask for money for something that I loved to do and wanted so badly to do? And Phyllis said to me, if you want to make a living at this, you need to learn how to ask for money for your services. That word services made me realize that dance and choreography is a service very much the way plumbing is a service.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the requirements of a civilized life, and that my experience and my ease in working was worth something beyond just the time that I spent. I had to come around to really understanding that dance has an important place in society. And it's something important that we bring to our community and to the larger community. So buy a ticket to a professional company. Buy a ticket to your professional musicians. Buy a ticket to the professional theater folks, because they are the reason that we can have amateur theater and amateur dance and mm-hmm. amateur music.
I understand you also teach tango.
Yes, Argentine tango is probably my favorite social dance. Argentine tango is entirely improvisational. There aren't any memorized routines. All social dances are based on walking, and Argentine tango is no different. But you have to walk very clearly,
mm-hmm.
and you have to communicate to your partner that you're walking. And then Argentine tango I like to say you dance with the melody of the music, not that bass line of the music. Yeah. Well, you dance with the beat, of course, but in North American music, social dance music, there's usually a repetitive beat mm-hmm. pattern. So there's a rhythmic pattern, and you learn to recognize that and say, oh, I am hearing a foxtrot, or I am hearing salsa, or I'm hearing merengue, and you can recognize that beat pattern and then know what that dance style is. Argentine tango doesn't have a drum set. One of the fun things about tango is that you can dance it with any music, mm-hmm. any music that has a melody. It doesn't have a recognizable beat pattern. So you dance with the melody of the music, and then you and your partner communicate physically, mm-hmm. but really both of you are dancing with the music.
And where do you teach these classes, and what are the times of them?
Argentine Tango is run right now through the workspace mm-hmm. at the Memorial Union on the Iowa State campus. That's at Lincoln Way and Lynn Avenues. We meet at 4 o'clock for a class every Sunday at the Memorial Union in room 3512. And then there's open dancing from 5 until 7. So some people come at 4 o'clock for the class, and then they leave. They only dance for a few minutes after the class. Some people come only for the dancing at 5 o'clock. Some people come at 4 o'clock and don't leave until that very, very last note of the music.
Have you had many takers for tango?
Yes, actually, people who like to tango get addicted. Tango is the most exhilarating social dance I've done. Argentine tango, for me, is the very best intersection of technique and expression. But there's also, when you get good enough, that exhilarating, subverbal communication between you and the music and your partner. And it is absolutely delightful. Ames is a dancing community. There is actually more social dance available in Ames than there is in Des Moines. And that's not just per capita. That is the variety of dancing that we have and the opportunity for individuals to go dancing. We are wow. a dancing community.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Dance is so much fun.
That's great. Well, thank you for coming in to talk to us.
My pleasure.
Berenle on tumuva yö, aallot lauluaan toistaa. Berenle on tähtien vyö, mutta kirkkaimmin loistaa. Onnen tähteni tuikkessaan, se nyt kulkua johtaa. Rakkain odottaa jo ikkunassaan, valo kutsuen hohtaa. Sinun luoksesi soudan yli välkkyvän veen. Sinut rakkaani noudan onnen ihmeelliseen. Meren yllä on tähtien yö, pois on
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts today, together with Kelsey Hardison. We just heard from Valerie Williams, owner of Commotion Dance Theater. We are speaking today with three independent artists who made their homes and have built their careers in Central Iowa.
Gwen Foster lives in Nevada, where she owns G.L. Foster's Artworks Gallery. She is a painter, and she recently received the Professional Award from the Des Moines Women's Club at their annual art exhibition. Deborah Bunka interviewed Gwen at the office of the Ames Community Arts Council, where Gwen has also recently begun working as their cultural coordinator.
We are talking to artist Gwen Foster. And can you tell us where you're from, Gwen?
Yes, I was originally from Arizona. And I have lived in California and Virginia and overseas in Naples and Brussels. And now I'm living in Iowa.
And what brought you to Iowa?
The weather.
Really? Okay. Please explain briefly.
Actually, my husband was commuting from San Diego once a month to a job here in Ames and Research Park. I came up here and spent one day for a company picnic, and it was absolutely gorgeous, August day, and the people and the culture, and it was just beautiful. And I went back to San Diego and put my house on the market immediately. And as soon as it sold, we packed up and moved.
And how many years have you been here?
This is my seventh year.
Okay, and you presently live?
I live 6 miles north of Nevada on an acreage where I have chickens and cats and dogs and a cow that keeps jumping over the fence and a few little pigs.
As a child, were you one of those doodlers? Were you drawing all over your textbooks?
I've always been an artist, and I was one of those who just doodled on everything.
So was there somebody instrumental in recognizing your talent, or was it something inside? Did your parents encourage you?
They sort of encouraged me, but I was never really taken seriously. I had three sisters, and Dad worked real hard, and Mom, you know, was taking care of whatever she needed to take care of. So it was just kind of me, you know, kind of on my own through high school and through college, and through a marriage and raising children. And I went back to college when my kids were teenagers. So I graduated from George Mason University in 1995 with a studio art degree.
In Fairfax, Virginia?
Yes. Shortly thereafter, we moved to San Diego, where they actually have free classes through the university. So I signed up for a watercolor class. It was professional, and this was a real teacher, and she was amazing. She was the best art teacher I had. She did not care how good you thought you were. The first class of a session, you were doing color wheels, you were doing negative painting, very basic things in watercolor, and overall, such as composition and things like that, she would want us to master it. So I took classes with her for 6 or 7 years before we moved here to Iowa. I just was really impressed with her, and to this day I teach my classes the same way she taught hers.
6 or 7 years, that's interesting, but you're talking like a...
It is an ongoing...
Apprenticeship.
It is an ongoing thing to take art classes. I still sign up for classes. I'll never know it all. And it keeps me fresh, it keeps me involved with people, it keeps me out there, it keeps me humble. And which it's important.
You are an established artist. People know your work. You have a studio as well?
I do have a studio in Nevada proper. And it's interesting because the move to Iowa has been just wonderful for me personally and as an artist, because things are actually still possible here in Iowa, where I never could have done any of this in San Diego, and I never would have been able to establish a name as an artist with other artists here. People here are willing to work together to get things done. When I first moved here, I knew that I needed to get involved right away, make some friends, so I just knew what I needed to do to take care of myself. And so I got on the internet and looked up watercolor classes, because that's what I like, and Joe Myers Walker's Left Bank Studio was the only one that came up. And I looked at that photograph of her with her kind eyes and her whimsical glasses. And I gave her a call and went over to Gilbert and signed up for her classes. And from there, things just blossomed. I started meeting people right and left, because everybody knows Joe. And I started teaching some of the classes for her, or I would sit in for her when she couldn't come to a class. And it just sort of blossomed from there. I ended up being able to work the fair several years in a row in the cultural building in a booth with Joe. Just a whole host of local artists who are just really good, and we do a lot of things together through the Iowa Artists and the Iowa Watercolor Society. And I have so many people that I could call on. They can call on me. But yeah, coming to Iowa, things have just really blossomed. And I'm teaching classes in my studio on Thursday evenings. I teach watercolor to mostly adults. I have some teenagers that come. And during the summer, I have a Let's Do Art Together youth art program for the younger ones, and they come in once a week, and we have projects that we can finish in the two-hour space of time that they're there. And they're real geared toward more fine art type projects, not the popsicle stick, which there's nothing wrong with that, but that's craft, and I'm more interested in the fine arts.
We are talking to artist Gwen Foster. In terms of sales of your art, have you been successful?
Oh, yeah, that's even blossomed more since I moved to Iowa. I get a lot of commissions to do house portraits.
When you're talking house portrait, you're not talking house painting. You're talking painting a portrait of the house.
Of their house or their home, right. And showing at the fair, I've had people buy paintings right off the wall at the Iowa State Fair. And people come into my studio. The other thing, besides teaching at the studio, it's also a gallery, and I like to feature local artists. And we have opening receptions for them, and I keep their work up for 2 or 3 months.
How can people find out about those?
I have a website, glfostersartworks.com. I'm on Facebook, glfostersartworks.com. Or they can give me a call, 515-520-1548. And in December, I have an open house and reception for the kids, and have them bring all their work back in. And
so you're giving back and supporting developing artists as well.
I see myself as a community resource as much as anything. I know that I'm not going to get rich, and I'm lucky to make my rent. But I have a place where people can come, and people come in off the street and talk to me. Old guys come in and bring stuff they did back in high school that they're still proud of and just want to show it to somebody and talk about it, you know, as a part of their life that was important. And I know how easy it is to stop doing that, because I did it myself for a while. You just stop doing something you're actually pretty good at.
Let's talk about that for a second. Obviously, art is a passion for you. What prompted you to stop, and then what prompted you to start again?
It's pretty easy to shove things to the back burner when you have small children running around and you're tired. I just remember being tired when my kids were little. And as they got older and less dependent on me for my time and my energy, I found myself getting back into the drawing and pen and ink work. And then, you know, I just slowly started coming back in, and my self-confidence started coming back in to stand up for myself and stop just being a doormat.
Do you think your artwork helped develop that in you, that it gave you some confidence?
I think it was a give and a take as well, and I think an education had a lot to do with it, because I was around women who were self-confident and self-assured. Before long, I found that I was finding my own voice within that, and it was really becoming me.
So for people who may not have seen any of your work, can you describe what your artwork looked like?
It is, I like to do things that are really straightforward. I like paintings that look like paintings, and I love the watercolor color because of the luminosity and transparency of it. What I really work on beyond technique is striking some emotional chord in the viewer. And apparently I'm getting there.
Well, you've recently won an award.
A really special one. The Des Moines Women's Club has an annual exhibit at the Hoyt Sherman. They have a professional category and an amateur category, and they only give one first prize in each. And I got the first prize on the professional side.
Congratulations. And it was
thank you. And it was because the first thing the juror this year looked at was story and the painting.
So overall, would you say that you've been able to make a living? And how would you characterize your life at this moment?
I am really quite content. I have a wonderful husband, loving family, and a beautiful place to live. And I have just a lot of really good people in my life, and I'm just very content.
We are talking to artist Gwen Foster, and your position with the council?
We're sitting in the Ames Community Arts Council office in the historic building in downtown Ames. Good. I am cultural coordinator. This Arts Council is an umbrella organization for all the artists and art organizations, individuals, and anyone interested in the arts can become a member, and we put everyone's activities and events and classes in one place so it's easy to find out what's going on.
So if people want to know where they can find a class, they can phone here.
They can phone here. They can look on the Ames Community Arts Council website.
Thank you, Gwen, for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Kelsey Hardison, one of your hosts today, together with Ursula Rudenberg. We just heard from Gwen Foster, a painter and gallery owner in Nevada, who has also started working as the cultural coordinator for the Ames Community Arts Council. Their website is amesarts.org.
Gwen mentioned how many artists in this area have inspired her and given her a supportive community to work in. She mentioned Joe Myers Walker in particular as a teacher and important colleague. Joe has just moved to Iowa City, which is our loss and Iowa City's gain. Jo has been busy packing, but before she left, she did take a break to reflect on her life and career here in our area. Let's listen to that interview now. This is Ursula Rudenberg here with Jo Myers-Walker and with my co-host,
Kelsey Hardison.
And we're here to speak with Jo about what it has meant for you to be an artist in Central Iowa. So welcome, Jo.
Thank you so much, Kelsey and Ursula.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Boone, Iowa, mostly, in just 15 miles away from Ames, and then came over here to Iowa State. My degree was in art education.
So, Jo, do you remember the moment when you decided you were going to be an artist and why you decided that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I was in third grade. And I would draw, but I put a lot of detail in things. And my teacher would tell my mother that she thought there was something special about what I was doing. And that really encouraged me.
What did you draw?
I drew a bird in a tree. I think it was a cardinal. It was very red, but had lots of feathers and lots of detail.
So why did you decide to be an artist because of that?
I think it was the good feedback, but it was also something that I could relax and do and enjoy, a way to quiet myself, get through two brothers, you know?
A lot of children draw. At what point did you decide to make your drawing a profession?
Probably in high school. We'd go into school in the mornings at 7:30 before it was really going. And the other kids would go to band or sports. Well, I went to the art room. That was my safe place. In high school, you need a safe place. And I just knew that that was my space.
You decided when you were in high school that you would be an artist professionally.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you decide to make money by making paintings, or what did that mean?
You know, I didn't quite understand that. I had a student teacher there from Iowa State when I was a senior, and I thought, wow. And she was beautiful, and she wore really nice clothes. And so I wanted to be just like her. Anyway, I don't know that I quite had that all figured out. I was very fortunate when I got out of school because I started right in painting between diapers and raising, you know, having babies. And when they take a nap, man, I was busy. And then, of course, they had an easel right next to me so that I could work somewhat. But, you know, to have peace and quiet and really think things through, that would be nap time.
So you began building a body of work in between being a mother.
Exactly. When I came back from the East Coast, I started going to art shows. That time they were just beginning, and so there weren't quite as many as there are now. These are street fairs and festivals and that kind of thing. And I did very well with them. And it was those birds, once again, that were the bread and butter items. So I kind of learned to separate what I wanted to do, but yet I had to be realistic that what was selling.
So after college, you began to build a body of watercolor work in mm-hmm. between caring for your children. What happened next?
As they grew up, they went with me out on the street at the art shows. They wore little aprons. They became, you know, little salesmen. And, of course, people thought they were delightful because they could talk about my work. Because they were usually in it, because I painted my children and things they did and so on. And they would play. We had Barbie condo land under the bin box where the watercolors were. And sometimes my youngest would lay under there and snore, and people would come by during nap time and hear her as they were passing through my artwork. My parents always took me with them and taught me how to do woodworking, sewing, whatever. We were included in activities, and I think I did that with my girls.
And what happened then?
They grew up, and they didn't get as excited anymore going with me because they were getting to be teenagers and, of course, getting into sports and their own interests. I continued to go fairly regularly. I did start teaching at Des Moines Area Community College about that time, and that was my degree was in art ed. And so it was kind of fun to be able to use your degree, you know. I think because I was a practicing artist, I was a better teacher. because I knew what it felt like to struggle.
Did you enjoy teaching?
Yes.
Why?
I still do, because I enjoy seeing what people discover in themselves and how they learn to create, and I certainly value that. And they're surprised that that wasn't too bad, what I just did. And by simply showing them a few techniques and encouragement, I think people can learn to create.
Can you describe your work?
Yes, I think it has a sense of humor.
Do you have a topic?
I try to find story in anything I paint, whether it's people, flowers, birds. Even my birds are not real birds. They have personality.
You said you work in plastic. Can you describe a little bit of that and maybe describe places where your work could be seen?
The octagon, I think, I'll still have some of my plastic. Sometimes my watercolors, when I'd frame them, they'd get scratched with the plexiglass that was on top. And I thought, what can I do with that? And so I started drawing on it, and then I figured out how I could cut it out with a bandsaw. Iowa State built me a giant oven that I could put large pieces in, and I learned to slump, which is what they do in clay. Basically, it's warming the plastic and putting it into things underneath it so that the piece has all of a sudden has an attitude by the way it's curving.
So Joe, tell us a little bit about the bank studio in Gilbert. What did you do there?
Oh, it's colorful. It's got a wonderful energy to it. And so I was really waiting for a very special person to come along that could continue that energy. It has a beautiful cage or an oak that I stripped down the wood. And I would sit there when I was stripping it. I can just see the white, the big round skirts coming in to the bank in the 1900s. It was built in 1900 and then on. And, you know, what life would have gone on there, encouraging people to borrow and spend their money and so on. It was the hub of Gilbert. So I thought, let's hope this will continue, where people will feel hospitality and welcoming. She's going to do a coffee shop like I did, a place where artists can come and visit, or writers, and feel right at home, as well as the neighbors.
This is Ursula Rudenberg here with Joe Myers Walker. Being an artist is usually considered a pretty risky profession.
Yes.
At what point did you realize that you were going to be able to be an artist professionally?
Mm-hmm. Probably back when I started doing the art fairs and so on, because my parents were very worried about me. You know, I had three little girls. I was divorced. And they wondered, you know, how could I survive? Well, I think by having those children, knowing I needed to put milk on the table and so on, there I was driven to care for them. But I don't know. I still need a fix every week. If I don't paint or create something out of whatever I find, I kind of need a fix. It's almost addictive, I think.
Can you explain why you do it?
I think creativity, you can't not. If something you have a passion for or love for, you don't even know why you're doing it. You just have to do it. But I don't even think people even understand maybe why they create. It just happens. If they'll let it.
Let's talk business just for a minute, because art is a business as well as a creative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
How would you break down percentage-wise where you actually made your income as an artist?
I'd say at least 2/3 of my income came from actually selling my work. Maybe 1/3 of it came from teaching, commission work maybe.
Did you ever sell through a gallery?
Oh, yes. For many years, I did something called wholesaling. So you'd go once a year to a wholesale show. You'd spend a couple $1,000s for the booth, and you'd stay in a hotel, and you'd build a room that was like your gallery space. And you'd have order forms, and you would have a whole line of work. And each year you'd come back, you'd have to have a whole new line, but the same feel. And see, they were buying you. They were buying your style. So that worked really well for a long time.
And do you feel that the sales you made influenced very much how you painted? Did you find yourself painting for people or for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Probably 2/3 of the time for myself. Because if you don't do that, you get nauseated and you get formula. And then I think you lose your spark. And that's one reason I did papermaking, and I'd work on that for a year before I'd introduce it. In other words, coming up with new continually. I think it's important to reinvent yourself. My children say I do that every 5 years, and that's kind of true.
So can you describe today what you think you've become as an artist?
You know, I'm moving, and so a lot's, I'm going to get weepy. A lot's happened to me. A lot of people have told me things, like how I affected them through my teaching or through my listening, and then helping them, empowering them to create something of meaning to themselves.
So do you feel that a phase of your life is coming to an end?
I know. I think it's just beginning. I guess I'm going to a new city. I'm going to Iowa City. I know a few people there, but it's a whole new playground. I'm very excited about it. I think it could be a real growth spurt for me. My children are there. Life's good, I think.
Looking back, are you glad that you chose to be an artist?
Oh, yeah. Because I could be a mother easily. I could be a friend. You know, I had a little more freedom during the day to listen. Of course, I had to work hard, but I learned you can do that all different times of the day and the evening and so on.
Do you feel that you were well received as an artist?
Yes, I do. A lot of people say you can't make a living as an artist in Ames. That's untrue. I think you have to work with people and network. I was in Boone for a little while, but I thought that would be limiting for me and my children. And so I came to Ames, and it's been a very, very good place.
Joe, what do you think is the secret of your success?
I think being open to the spirit. I'm spiritual, I think. Let God tell me what I'm making today. And it's usually what is in my heart.
So when you begin an artwork, you don't always know what it will look like?
Exactly. I let a painting often paint itself. Because things show up that are beautiful and they need to be honored. And so I try to let those things happen rather than forcing something that maybe is unnecessary. Because in a good painting, it's what you leave out that's the strong point often.
Joe, you also were on the board of KHOI Radio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you made some beautiful designs of the Ames Pantorium, our building, for KHOI. And one of them is on our magnet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would invite anybody who wants a little piece of Joe Meyer Walker to stop by the Pantorium, and we'll give you a magnet that has Joe's painting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, your work can be seen on your website. Would you give us your website?
Mm-hmm. It's theleftbankstudio.com, all run together.
Are you going to miss Ames?
Oh, yes. Of course I am. They helped me grow up as an artist, as a person, raise my children here. Wonderful friendships. Yeah.
You have a lot of fans, too, in Ames. What would you like to say to them as you leave our community?
I'd like you to watch my blog and know when I'm coming back. So we can have coffee or a party or meet somewhere, not maybe at the bank so much.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We've been speaking with Joe Myers Walker, who is a longtime artist here in the Ames area. And thank you for coming and speaking with us, Joe.
Thank you.
We just heard an interview with Joe Myers Walker, a local artist who built her career in Ames and Gilbert.
Today we have been talking about art. Independent artists from our area have shared their wisdom, memories, thoughts, and feelings with us. They have been Valerie Williams, Gwen Foster, and Joe Myers Walker. To find out more about Commotion Dance Theater, as well as the community classes they offer, go to commotion.org. That's commotion.org. Valerie's tango classes are held every Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. in the Memorial Union on the ISU campus in room 3512. Gwen Foster's website is glfosterartwork.com, where you can find a schedule of exhibits in the Nevada Art Gallery. That's glfosterartwork.com. You can visit Gwen's gallery at 1101 5th Street in Nevada. You can find more information about Ames Community Arts Council at amesart.org.
And finally, we want to wish Joe Myers Walker safe travels and all the best. Here at KHOI, we thank you, Joe, for contributing to KHOI as a board member and as the organizer of KHOI's youth radio program and our Porch Stories events. Safe travels, Joe, and all the best as you make a new home in Iowa City. And thank you ever so much for making ours a better community due to all the joy, fun, and inspiration you have given so many of us. We will definitely miss you. Jo still remains in cyberspace. Her website is theleftbankstudio.com. That's theleftbankstudio.com, where you can continue to see her artwork and her blog on that website.
You can listen to this show and all of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And see listings of our guests and resource contact information. To find it, click on the Shows tab and choose Local Talk from the drop-down list of KHOI shows. Reporters who contributed to this show have been Deborah Bunka, Ursula Rudenberg, Kay Puttock, and myself, Kelsey Hardison. Music you heard included music from Light Dance Show by Chris Stalin, performed at the Rosenthal Gala, Tango Orchestra Unto, Piazzolla Libertango, performed by Yo-Yo Ma.
Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. If you enjoyed this show, please tell your friends. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. And if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Your participation as an audience, as always, is what makes KHOI and Local Talk possible.
Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.